This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Altoona, Pennsylvania. Selena Zito takes us to Altoona, Pennsylvania, as it became the centerpiece of the build-out of Prosperous America, because those are the Pennsylvania Railroad yards that built the engines, steam engines, and then electric generating engines that carried people from New York and Philadelphia west to Chicago and departing then all the way across the country. Selena, a very good evening to you. Thank you. Altoona, Pennsylvania, today in 2022, your piece observes that the railroad is no longer its major component, but the yards, where the yards were, are still celebrated. What did you see when, what do you see when you visit Altoona today? What remains of the golden days of the early 20th century? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So the gorgeous Pennsylvania Railroad building, which was the central headquarters of the Pennsylvania Railroad, the most powerful railroad in the world, not even in the country. That building still remains, and today it is the home of the Railroaders Museum, in which they have completely sort of brought to life what that era was, what that world was. And it's all dedicated to the workers, which I found incredibly interesting and very beautifully done. Now, the tracks, I would say half the tracks that were there almost 200 years ago are still there. But they're not used at all in the same way that they were used, you know, back when it first started and back in the heyday, which was the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. But, you know, the town was built up around the railroad. Altoona became a town because of the railroad. And without Altoona, there was no gateway to the west. It would take 3 days to get people and commerce from one side of the Allegheny Mountains to the other because of the steep grade. The Horseshoe Curve changed all that. It was innovation at its finest, and the workers carved out that mountain to put that curve in. When it was placed in there in 1854, it was considered the eighth wonder of the world.
The Altoona Curve, part of my childhood, Selena and I have discussed this, because when I was 11 years old, my father put myself and my younger brother, who was then 9 years old, on the train for Philadelphia, where my grandparents were, by ourselves, and he asked the conductor to look after us. So I spent the day with my brother staring out on that trip that goes from Cincinnati through Pittsburgh all the way to Philadelphia through Altoona. And I didn't know it existed, except for I was told that I was going to see something amazing halfway through. When we got to Altoona, I could see the big yards, but it didn't seem anything more than the construction of, you know, big people's construction. And then the Altoona Curve that Selena says was carved by hand, and it was. I didn't know that at the time. The treat for an 11-year-old is the conductor came over to me and said, "Watch now. You're going to see the end of the train from here in the front of the train." And I looked out the window because my father had put me on the right side going east. You want to sit on the left side of the car. And there was the end of the train. I have no explanation to why an 11-year-old finds that fascinating, Selena. I don't know.
What is very joyful, John, is the conductor does that to this day. And whether you're an 11-year-old child or someone in their 60s like me, you still have this sort of sense of wonder, of accomplishment, and just the idea that you could see the front of the train to the back of the train. It somehow makes your brain appreciate the moment.
The engineering feat is that was done by hand. That carve out, that curve, the horseshoe curve, The work started in the 1850s, and it was done by immigrants most entirely from Ireland who were coming to America and seeking a better way of life. And of course, they had to have work. And so you can see that what they took was a very challenging mountain that took a while. I don't think they had a railroad through that. And there were doubts whether it could be done, whether it could hold a train. These are steam locomotive trains coming up the hill, always climbing. At its peak, there were four tracks. I don't know whether there were four tracks when I wrote it or not. I didn't get that detail. There are still four tracks. What of the original construction today is available for people to see? Do they have in the museum? Do they have the pickaxes and the
crowbars? They do.
Everything they pulled them out with.
Yeah, they have them out. They have an amazing. They have a beautiful diorama that shows the town as it looked around right before the Civil War. And what is fascinating, I think, for anyone who's into history or appreciates something that has longevity, the Horseshoe Curve doesn't look any different than it did since the late 1850s. And you can go and see the trains come up. You can go watch the trains come up the mountain and from a lookout point and see them come, you know, around the curve. And that's also, you know, just a wonderful treat to see when you go to town.
And here's the history of it. For my family, the Horseshoe Curve is what my father rode in 1942 when he was going west with his unit for training for the war, and rode back the Horseshoe Curve. All the military personnel flowing. The Pennsylvania Railroad built sleeper cars for the military. They were stacked on top of each other, painted sort of an olive green. And I know this, Selena, because HO Model Railroading makes those cars today, and they're a delight to collect because you can imagine it's 1942, and the Pennsylvania Railroad, sure enough, boutique cars. You know, we don't just give any old car to our military men. We give them a special car. And there, a lot of construction went on in Altoona, not all of it. Does the museum devote itself to because I've never been there, to the age of steam passing into diesel? Do they have that represented?
Yes. Yeah, they do. They've done an amazing job. And the interesting little nugget about this museum is they were passed over to be the Pennsylvania Railroad Museum by the state, largely because they had no clout anymore, any political clout. That was in the 1960s. So I forget how it goes, but it ended up being that the people of Altoona paid for this museum to be constructed. And I think that's just a wonderful testament. I mean, the people that live in Altoona, they're third, fourth, fifth generation of those Irish immigrants who came there for a better life, opportunity, but also a lot of hard work.
Yes, let's go to those Irish immigrants as they flow west in the 19th century, because we're going to Irish Mountain, which at first was part of Virginia, but after the Civil War, it was part of West Virginia. And an Irish mountain, a chapel stood, built by the early Irish immigrants. Selena, you estimate 150 years ago, the 1870s, when it was built?
Yes, it was built. The sort of the kernel of the church was thought of in the 1850s when these Irish immigrants first settled there, again for the railroad, to build a railroad in West Virginia. And by the 1870s, you know, they wanted a true structure to practice their faith, and so a log cabin was built. And by the turn of the 20th century, that then became they covered it with white clapboard. I had been to St. Coleman's. It was a beautiful, quaint structure, a testament to the people who lived there who wanted to practice their faith. You could go in, you could say a prayer, have a moment, you know, of just quiet. You could imagine what it was like to be there in, you know, in the 1870s. And you can appreciate the importance of faith to people who worked hard, who there's to their families were the central core of their life. And it was a beautiful, beautiful place to go to.
And you talk about the thick forest and the new rivers, and that this was the community that was built up there in the 19th century was isolated. And so the chapel was a practical expression of their faith because they couldn't get to the nearby St. Patrick's. The Irish immigrants, the Irish Catholic immigrants in the 1850s, the history book says that they suffered prejudice and discrimination and threats and even of attacks. Did that come to Irish Mountain? Do you know anything about the history there?
No, it didn't. In fact, everyone that came to the western part of Virginia were people fleeing persecution, and so West Virginia has this lineage, right, of these people that were on the low rung of the immigrant experience, however, were determined to be successful in their adopted homeland. And so it's just sort of part of the Virginia / West Virginia experience. And, you know, there's never more than 40 families up there. So it was never a big parish. But, you know, it served its purpose. And it attracted people from all over the world to come and see this little. I mean, you had to climb up. Yeah, no. First of all, the mountain road. I think it's State Route 26. That's already a bit of a climb for your vehicle. And then when you park, you have to climb up. Oh, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 wooden stairs to then get into the parish, be the parish because it's, you know, tucked in there, and behind it is the are the graves of the people that once worshipped there.
Right, the graveyard attracted me immediately. I've come to like these stories of graveyards because I grew up near a Quaker graveyard outside of Philadelphia that dated to the 18th century. Yours dates to the 19th century, and Selena includes one of the grave inscriptions in her story of St. Coleman. Remember, kind friends, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you must be. Prepare for death and follow me. And the fate of St. Coleman's, what do we know, Selena?
So 2 weeks ago, the church caught on fire. Now, this church had no electricity going into it, so it wasn't caused by a problem with an electrical current. The police, both the police and the fire department, the local Beaver Fire Department, weren't called until the day after. So when they arrived on scene, the church had already burnt down. All they had seen, all they came up to were ashes. And you know, both the officer Daniels, State Trooper Daniels, as well as the fire chief, said it was clear that it was arson. And it became sort of a quest for both of them to find that person who took down not just a place of worship, but also a place that was a testament to the people who lived there and who built it. Last night, they discovered who it was, and they arrested him. It was a young man who had been drinking and had set a bunch of plastic flowers on fire and the altar, placed a pew on top of it that became engulfed in flames, and then walked away.
Selena Zito of the Washington Examiner, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and the New York Post, remembering the Altoona Curve that you can see today, the Horseshoe Curve, and St. Coleman's, Irish Mountain in West Virginia. I'm John Bashford.